In. What's happening, Dan Rice? What's going on, my friend? Mr. Backman, Mr. Kent, Mr. Hummel as well. Welcome in, guys. It's Waffle Mafia Podcast, if you couldn't tell. Guys, apologize for the late night, the late start, and getting things not quite underway on time, as usual. Was actually outside chasing the dogs just now, so that was why my 5 turned into 15. Been a long night with Graylin. For some reason, he's been a wildcat this evening, so there's that. But with that said, let's get it underway. We've got a Waffle Mafia podcast to do real quick, and then we're going to play. So let's go over here and read some comments. So what's happening to you guys? What's up? Yeah, man, who let the dogs out? Apparently, it was my wife. And my dogs don't have a leash or anything here, so they roam. And sometimes if something catches their attention outside, it is almost nearly impossible to get them back in. So I've been outside roaming through, but it is what it is, and I do what I do. So let's do a little Waffle Mafia podcast. Let's talk about some of the crazy madness that has gone on this past week, the things that are upcoming within the group, and the things more or less anything's new in the He-Man world and in the Mafia itself. So what we'll do real quickly, we'll run through the podcast. We will talk about a few things, do a little spotlight rundown. Of course, you guys know that we're talking about Point Dread because we're doing Point Dread tonight. Point Dread, one of my absolute favorite things of all time. It's one of my favorite pieces of Master's mythos. I think it fits in beautifully. It's unique. It's something creative. And so appreciate you guys jumping in and doing this thing with me tonight. What's up, Wily Cat? Holy crap, I'm here. Let's pause for the calls and have a little sip of beer. Here we go, baby. That's what it be. What's happening, Mr. Kent? Thanks for hanging with me. I think I've said hi to Alexander like 4 times. What's up, Big Show? What's happening, my dude? Going to have a special guest during tonight's Waffles, so we have that to look forward to. I also do not know what the special guest has in mind. It's completely up to him. So I'm going to bring him on while we're live. Hopefully, we can do that a little more often and maybe get some people involved and let you guys get in and do some things of your own if there are things that you want to do. What's up, Mr. Foster? What's happening, man? I'm just here for the comments. Dude, just sit back with your popcorn. Don't be rude. You know what it is. Appreciate you guys jumping in and hanging out with me and always being patient with everything that's going on, especially with my wildlife and my wild child, so I appreciate that. All things Masters, nothing really crazy going on this week. Of course, I posted a little bit earlier this morning, Han Solo was having that sale. I think that goes on to the end of the month. His silver stuff is absolutely beautiful. He's got some jewelry that he's done, and the designs are beautiful. You got Battle Cat head, you've got a She-Ra ring, you've got a Triclops ring. There's a lot of different things he has there. A little bit on the pricey side, so if you guys are not just for throwing money at rare metals, it may be something to stay away from as for now. But really, with the sales prices, it's the lowest it's ever been. So if you guys can nab some of that, it is available over on Han Solo's page. The link, of course, is on Legends. So, wild child like his daddy. You know what it be, Queen Bee? Yeah, Graylin here lately, for some reason, just wants to party all night. And so I don't know where he gets it from. I don't know where. Y'all know what it be. Let's talk a little bit of Point Dread, you see. And before we do that, real quick, a couple things to get into, really. Of course, the Toys for Tots thing, we've still got that going on. Thank you for the humbleness of humbleness. Mr. Hummel, of course, allowing us to hang on to the box that we have, and we're going to do that box for you guys. So the plan that we had didn't quite work out, so we're going to drop back and punt. And Chris was nice enough to say, hey, you know, let's do the box for the kids and do that for the group. So the box that we showed off last week, that is still going to be out there. I'm actually going to try to do a very quick turn on this. So what we're going to try to do is, in place of Thirsty Thursday, probably for this upcoming week, what we will do is do the Toys for Tots waffle. If we can fill it up before then, and I'll go ahead and get a promo out there and we'll go ahead and get it ready, but if we can fill it up before then, we'll certainly roll as soon as we're ready to roll. But until then, we'll probably put that in place for Thirsty Thursday for next week, and what we'll do our best to do is try to fill that wheel up for the kids. I'll have more details as far as spots go. I'm really working on something. I'm trying to get the price point down a little bit cheaper. We do want to raise $1,000 for the kids, so I just wanted to make that as easy as possible on you guys, because I know you guys have already contributed once. We've jumped in. We've done the $1,000. Of course, Joe Ito, our brother from another mother down at La Wheel, he's been doing his piece as well. So right now, we're well over $1,000. I can't remember the actual last updated total, but well over $1,000. And, of course, we're going to continue to do this throughout the year. To try to raise just a little bit more money before we reach the end of the year and go purchase the toys for the kids. So, what's up, Mr. Delaney? What's happening, good sir? Free Bird got his for $15 on ThinkGeek. Must be talking about those rings. I know there were some deals on ThinkGeek as far as those some of those Han Solo pieces go. So, you know, it's kind of mix and match thing. If there's something that you want, at least go over and check and see what the price is and jump back over there too, because ThinkGeek also had them for you. So there you go. Appreciate that, Freebird. Thanks for throwing it out there, man. Let's a little pause for the calls if we can. Ca-caw. I'm struggling with my voice this evening. Y'all don't know what's going on. Tomorrow's Friday. It's meeting day. It's all that good stuff. So I ain't going to keep y'all night. It's 11:30. I know y'all want to play, all right? So, first of all, let's talk a little Point Dread. So, Point Dread, oh, so glorious, man. And here is what it be. This is what we will be playing for, you see. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, bird. Get on off the perch. Watch me throw him in the floor. Well, maybe. Maybe not. It does not appear that we will be removing the bird from the perch at this moment. I'm not going to knock this whole mess off of here, and then we got madness. But Point Dread, like I said, one of my absolute favorite play sets as a kid. And I think the reason being, you guys know I'm a huge fan of the Alcala artwork, the stuff from the early minis. And this no different. Alcala did the artwork for the Point Dread, the Power Point Dread mini. And because, or not mini, but the actual record book. So because of that, absolutely love the way that the Talon Fighter was introduced when it was originally shown. So Point Dread as a kid was something you never heard about. And then you get this really awesome record that comes with the record book. And it is Trouble at Castle Grayskull and the Power Point Dread. It's a two-sided record. If you guys haven't seen that, we've given it away here a couple of times. What's happening, Cullen? What's going on, brother? Yeah, absolutely beautiful artwork in there. I mean, it is beautiful. So we actually have it in our mini comic Bible. So let's step over here for just a second. I'll show you what I'm talking about. For anybody who has never seen this two-pack or this record two-pack. It came like this, and of course we have up top it tells you you've got two stories with record, Masters of the Universe, PowerPoint Dread, and The Danger at Castle Grayskull. And of course, pinned or drawn by the amazing Alfredo Alcala down here at the bottom. So Alcala's depiction of Point Dread, we see it right there on the very opening. So this was the cover of the record. Man, absolutely beautiful artwork. You've got Skeletor on the Talon Fighter, Of course, He-Man defending and Teela taking the blast. So, very cool depiction there. Is it Teela? Is it the sorceress? We don't necessarily know. But she has the Staff of Ka, so there you go. That Grayskull looks more like 2000X. Yeah, it does. The way that the jaw bridge is drawn is sort of that long upsweep of the castle there. So, beautiful stuff by Alcala. And, of course, it was accompanied with this amazing record. And so what we get at the very beginning is the intro to the record. We get the power of Point Dread and Danger at Castle Grayskull. So before you ever knew anything about this particular place set, if you were a child and you didn't know anything about it, and you simply got this the way that I did and just delved into the record, the fact that I got my Point Dread, knew nothing about it whatsoever, got the record, go over, put that thing on, and then you get to hear this amazing story about why He-Man needs the Talon Fighter and the amazing power of Point Dread and where it came from. So Freeburg says the goddess, you know what it be, that's her on the cover there, squirrel. Because in this we have some different depictions of our girl. Here we see King Randor. So there, King Randor a bit different in his depiction. So of course we've got He-Man talking to King Randor. And the key to this story is the idea that Skeletor knows that He-Man is bound by duty. He knows that due to his goodness and due to upholding his honor and protecting the kingdom, that He-Man is bound by duty. And being bound by duty will lock him in one place versus another, making it possible for Skeletor to lay siege to Castle Grayskull. So if he can tie He-Man up somewhere else, he can then be freed up to take over the castle. So we know that He-Man is bound by his honor and bound by his duty. And what we see is Skeletor, more or less, as he has done multiple times throughout the mythos, pulled a prank on He-Man and sort of pretended to be someone else or to have something else going on. So what we see here is Beastman being projected into the throne room. He-Man sees Beastman behind the king holding up a boulder. He's fearful for the king's life. He throws his axe and almost kills the king. So He-Man even says, "My God, I almost killed the man." So it's an amazing story, I think that it, as a child, even now, I think it sort of, you feel He-Man's remorse. Oh my goodness, I've put the king in danger. I'm now bound. I have to stay and make sure that the king's okay. And far away, we see the evil Skeletor launching his plan. So he seeks a common anthill and uses his energy blade to do its work. So here we have Skeletor using the energy blade, changing the ants into these monstrous, gigantic monsters that are now going to attack the palace. Back at the king's palace, Man-at-Arms brings some news. So he comes to tell He-Man that Skeletor is causing some issues. Here we have the Eternian guards, the palace guards. Now, they are also represented a bit different here. It would be cool to get those in classics. So there's that. They are just a touch different in their design, but there's the palace guards. And this is what we see here is the very first time and the only time that Alfredo Alcala drew Zodak. And what we have is He-Man in his dilemma needs to be in two places at one time. And the only way that you could possibly accomplish that is through the power of Point Dread. And with that said, what we see is we do see a scene here where we do have blood. Oh my goodness, someone killed an ant. And then below that, we see our very first incarnation of Zodak drawn by Alcala. Now, here, Zodak is being the cosmic enforcer, the balancer of all great things. Greetings, He-Man. I'm here to right a great wrong. Follow me. So, it says, there is a balance to the universe which must be kept, but Skeletor has tipped that balance by playing a terrible trick on you with his energy blade. So, when the record is playing this, I mean, the sound effects, the mystical way that it's presented and the things that are going on, even the voice of Zodak, absolutely amazing. So if you guys have never gotten to hear that record, please, it's on YouTube, check it out. It's absolutely amazing for about the 15th time. But what we have is, He-Man says, yes, I know that now, but how can I guard Castle Grayskull when Eternia needs me as well? How can I be at two places at once? Here is your answer, He-Man. Behold, Point Dread. Now, interestingly enough here, Zodak goes on to say that Point Dread was created by the same scientist who built Castle Grayskull many years ago. So, before the Great War, Point Dread moves through both time and space, so you can go anywhere in Eternia in just an instant. Just fly the Talon Fighter above it to any place that you want to go. Now, interestingly enough as well, with the Talon Fighter, Point Dread also moves through time and space, so Point Dread is able to materialize in different places, be it in space, be it in on Eternia, be it at the top of Castle Grayskull, high atop the Mystic Mountains. Ah, yes, sir. He-Man leaps to the controls of the fighter, and with his mighty strength and skill, He-Man forces a giant warbird full speed towards Castle Grayskull. At that very same moment, Skeletor is eyeing his new prize. In a flash, He-Man finds himself at Castle Grayskull. So, Skeletor, not really sure where He-Man came from. So, bam, the PowerPoint Dread, able to move through time and space. He-Man is able to be at two places at the same time. So, there is really one of my favorite stories of all time. And especially concerning the fact that I love the Talon Fighter as much as I do. It's always been something that, as a kid, I flew that thing through their house like 9 million times. I thought it was cool that when Classics did this, we didn't get the handle. Some people wanted the handle, some people didn't. I personally think it looks much cooler without it. Of course, you're not necessarily going to be flying this warbird through the house. I mean, you can. I certainly have. You know, beautifully sculpted, beautifully done. The Four Horsemen did a wonderful job on this sculpt, did a wonderful job on this piece. Really bringing it to life and doing it in a scale that is consistent with Castle Grayskull. So, again, just like with your vintage playset, the Point Dread and the Talon Fighter fits on top of the Classics Castle Grayskull. I have to have my little He-Dude watch this or read it. Oh yeah, he'll love that. If he's never seen that story, KPB, that will be his thing, because I'm telling you, I don't know, that story just always captivated me. I thought it was amazing that Zodak was always stepping out to balance the scales, and you know, when it really came down to something that He-Man didn't have a whole lot of control over, Zodak would step in and balance things and make it right. And the Talon Fighter and Point Dread to me was such a mystical, magical thing, because it's sort of like it appears when it's needed. Interestingly enough, if we go early and we go back, the very first way that Point Dread and the Talon Fighter was presented was in some DC stuff, so in the early DC MOTU stuff, and it only comes every 20 years, so it had like a 20-year thing where it appeared. Also, very interestingly too, and we'll do this and we'll wrap it up and we'll get on to this waffle, but there was a moment where it's not very consistent with any of the canon, and of course it's in direct contrast to the canon, but there is a telling of Point Dread as being Skeletor's lair. So that is in, let's see, That is in the 1984 UK World Motu Annuals. So what you'll find there is described as Skeletor's evil lair. It was possibly written before Snake Mountain was created. He had no association whatsoever with the Talon Fire. So they simply talked about Point Dread. There was no association with Talon Fighter at all. Described as an underground multi-level fortress with all the same doom and gloom of Snake Mountain, it appears as a blackish mountain-like tower that rises from the Eternian Sea. Interesting. Made of naturally glowing rock formations. The entrance was a steep sloping passage with twisting stairs that led deep below. Within Point Dread was made up of a vast labyrinth of passages, caves, pits, mines, and dungeons. Deep underground, Skeletor's prisoners served as miners in the sulfur mines of Point Dread. So, as I came across that earlier, I just thought, man, that is a very interesting piece, I think, that never gets talked about. With Point Dread and the Talon Fighter, and I thought it was cool to run across it. So there it is, and that's what it be. It was an evil lair for Skeletor, you see. Of course, 84 German Motu audio plays. It was a mobile command center used by the Masters of the Universe, which stood in different places at various times. It could even be found in outer space. Of course, continuing Motu Classics continued with the same continuity. And more or less keeping everything the same with Point Dread and the Talon Fighter. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, guys. Y'all know what it be. And it pops up again in 2012 in those DC comics you see. So, again, one of my favorite pieces of all time, Point Dread and the Talon Fighter. Huge piece of Motu history. My personal Point Dread and the Talon Fighter was donated to me by my good buddy Paul Rugman. So I always like to give a big shout out to Ruddy Buddy for hooking me up with that. It was one of those pieces that it's a grail piece for me. It's something that is a huge part of my collection. I will probably never ever get rid of it. So Paul knew how bad I wanted that thing. It was close around Christmas. He had some credits, did some goodwill, and there you go. So I appreciate that, Ruddy Buddy. Appreciate you, yo. So there that is, and there's what it be. We've talked about some Talon Fighter and some Point Dread. You see, it's time to get on over here and yo, what's up, Artemis? What's happening, dude? It's time to get on over here and get this thing done, and let's give ourselves away a classics Talon Fighter, son. So thank you guys for coming out doing the Waffle Mafia thing with me. PopCultureNetwork.com. Check it out if you've never been there. If you're listening or you want to listen at a later time or on a different device, you can always go over to Podbean. Check out Fans of Power. Check out Masters of the Galaxy podcast. Check out the Waffle Mafia podcast. All those back shows are there too if you guys want to catch up with that and make it do what it do. I appreciate y'all hanging with me. I'm sorry for the late night. It's 11:45, guys. Let's do a waffle, all right? Let's do it on a Thursday. How about that? Give me about 5 minutes to get that thing set. Now, it really is 5 minutes this time. I don't have a dog outside. We don't have anything crazy going on. So, 5 minutes and let's get it on. Let's get on over here and do what we do. It's been a Waffle Mafia podcast. Preach y'all hanging with you. I love you guys. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you in a minute. And we're going to pound some beers and we're going to spin it. There it is, baby. Thanks for hanging with me. See you in a minute. See you.